Alrighty, Coastsiders, it's Friday, January 7th, 2022. Whew, slip on some baggies and a pair of Huarache sandals, Libby. It's time for some coastal windage. Yes, that is a line from
2022.
Yes, I know when I write my next check. Yeah. Yes, I still the checkbook.
I write checks occasionally too.
I'm sure I'm gonna have to scratch it out because I'll probably write 2018 or something. I still, I'm wishfully thinking myself back a few years every time I write out the date. Like, oh, maybe if I just think it's 2015, I'll feel seven years younger.
More back to that time.
Yeah exactly.
If you ask me about 5-10 years ago, it feels like centuries ago, and yet like 1988 seems like yesterday. I have to tell you, I was talking with friends about that last night.
Isn't that one of the first signs of dementia, that you can remember like minute details from 40 years ago?
And I don't remember yesterday.
But yesterday is nothing. Okay, well,
doesn't
we've arrived.
Well.
Yeah, great. All right, speaking of we, that's us. That's me, Ruben Truthmaker. I almost said Ruben Streetwise and Libby Truthmaker. No, that's not correct. Let's try it again. That's Ruben Truthmaker with me, as always, Libby Streetwise. This is Coastal Windage. In case you're just tuning in on KHMB, your community radio station, this is Coastal Windage. This is the talk of the coast. The Coastside's live call and talk radio show. What? The Coastside has a live call and talk radio show? Yeah. Where you been? I mean, we've been here. This is our fifth season, 167th show. We're here every Friday morning talking about Coastside stuff. And that's what, Livia, that's what makes this show fun for us.
For everyone.
Right, because this is our community. We're not listening to some, you know, corporate internet program, syndicated program out of San Francisco that's really out of New York City or something. This is coming out of Main Street, Half Moon Bay, with two Coastside residents as hosts talking about exclusively Coastside
topics.
You have
some good energy today.
Well,
Ruben,
I'm excited.
Did you get some sleep?
No. Sleep. Well, who? What? Where? What's? What is this?
Yeah,
what is this word?
You're a live wire.
I always go to the Half Moon Bay Bakery before every show.
Yeah.
To get jacked on sugar. donut holes is my drug of choice. And but I'm also super excited because I love doing part of our we do Coastside Topics on this show, exclusively Coastside Topics. And one of the things that we do, one of our segments that we occasionally do, is a live interview with a Coastsider of note who maybe is flown under the radar, or is, you know, a person that doesn't seek attention, or just, you know, hasn't risen, bubbled up to, you know, our level of notoriety, right?
So bum.
So I'm really excited because today we have a teenage surfing champion, already a champion, from the Coastside, who is killing it up and down the coast in competitions right now. And I think I'm really looking forward to talking to her. Zoe Chait is our guest.
Fantastic. That was a good get.
I mean, our booking, I have to say,
our booking agent is
pretty good. It's pretty
spot
good.
Spot on.
Rarely do we not get a guest that we're seeking. And the booking agent is our booking person is very
convincing.
Good at, well, I don't know how she does it, but she definitely is very convincing, but also, like, seems to really have good ideas of who to have as guests. So Zoe Chait is probably, we're going to ask her this later in the show, probably going to turn pro. She already has many endorsements, sponsorship endorsements, and the way that she is racking up hardware, it's pretty exciting because this is, you know, this is a person that went to Cunha Intermediate School.
Wow.
And has made a name for herself here on the coast. So really excited to talk. Also, this is our first minor that we've had as an interview guest. Mm. We had another young man.
Colin, right?
No, Colin?
He was at the high school.
Yes, but, oh, Did we interview him as an actual interview, or did we just have a phone call from him? Because there was a young man that was doing the Blaze online magazine.
Oh, right.
And
you're asking someone who you just said had dementia. So probably not the person you want to be asking.
Well, I figure it's kind of like two negatives equals a positive. If we both have dementia, then somehow we're in the same universe.
We've got to come to the answer somehow.
Yeah, exactly. It'll just work out.
Okay.
So looking forward to that's why I have the good energy. Also, love doing the show because it's about the coastside topics. Mostly we have people from the coastside calling in. Although, here's the thing. The range of this show is literally around the world because in addition to 100.9 FM and 1710 AM, Rockin' 1710 AM, which is our broadcast outlets, right? You can go on the radio in your car or in your transistor radio at home or whatever and listen to it broadcast on those frequencies, or you can go to khmbradio.com, click the Listen Live tab, listen to the show right now live anywhere in the world with an internet connection. And we have had calls from, I think we actually have had calls from around the world because I think one time, no, it was an email. We got an email from Tokyo, Japan.
Oh, so that's right.
That was pretty cool.
That's right.
So,
that's encouraging.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, coastal windage, right? They have a coastline in Japan, so that counts. we're everywhere, okay? But we focus on the coast side. That's what makes this show fun. And I think, based on our market research, that's why people enjoy listening to it, is because they recognize that street name. They've seen that tree. They've been to that beach. You know, they know that person.
Yeah.
That's what makes this show fun.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Here's our topics for today. Coastside potpourri. So, you know, this show is sometimes a talk show. Most of the time.
I mean, yikes.
It's a talk show. But sometimes it's, you know, we give news stories, right? And sometimes it's a community bulletin board where we're making announcements, and sometimes we're interviewing people. And today's show is kind of all of those things. There's a lot of kind of announcements. It's the beginning of the year. There's a lot of things coming up. And we've always felt that this show is one way to, like, not only talk about coastside topics, but, you know, be a bulletin board, get the word out about things that's happening on the coast. So Coastside Potpourri, we have several announcements about things coming up. And then we have a story about something called Bike Temple, which is a really interesting program for people who use bikes as transportation to provide them with free services and support. So we'll talk about that. And then our Shooting the Breeze New Normal live interview with teen surfer Zoe Chase.
Sounds like a good show.
Of course. Thank you for saying that. You will receive a bonus in your paycheck later this month. Okay. And always excited to mention that our show is, as always, or for the last 2-3 years, brought to you by Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. We really appreciate their support, and we try to return that in kind. I know that probably a significant portion of my paycheck goes back to the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Because I'm there quite frequently enjoying the wonderful food. So the thing about breweries are a big thing these days. But Half Moon Bay Brewery has been around for 20 years. And the thing that I would say about Half Moon Bay Brewery, a differentiator, because there's a lot of breweries and a lot of brew pubs around. This is not a brew pub. This is not where you're going to go and maybe get some half-assed slider on a cutting board, you know, with your beer, right? This is like high quality beer, right? It's a brewery. Make some really flavorful beers, but it's a real restaurant. So it's a restaurant with a brewery component. It's not just a brew pub that's got a bunch of brewing tanks and then they got
aioli manufacturer.
I mean, they ought to have a whole separate tank just for the aioli.
Lest we forget that.
I mean, sometimes I don't even see the menu because I'm just like, get me three tubs of aioli and a blanket, please. So it's not just a brew pub. It's a really high class restaurant with some delicious entrees and other sides and whatnot. And then you've got the beers. So it's a full...
And then you have the patio.
Right, the patio in the great location in the harbor. So you've got your full spectrum restaurant there.
Yep.
Okay, so check that out. It's the weekend. We always love going there on the weekend, taking out-of-town guests there, going there for a romantic evening. whatever, or if you're just hungry, or you know what, you want to have a pitcher and watch the game, go to the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Thank you for your support. Okay, speaking of support, you want to call in and support the show, call in and talk to us, or
please
maybe
do.
Yeah, maybe even our guest, go ahead and give us a call, 650-560-9851. Again, this is one of the things that makes this show fun and different. This is a live show. It's 9:07 or whatever it is right now. We're on Main Street looking down at kind of a gloomy Friday, watching cars go up and down Main Street, people walking around. This is our neighborhood, our town. We love doing it. Give us a call, 650-560-9851. Or, as many people do, send us an email, coastalwindage@gmail.com. Okay, so we mentioned Coastside Potpourri. I feel like today, or for right now anyways, in this show, we're the audio bulletin board for the Coastside. So let's run down a few. Let's take a quick sniff around the Coastside and see what smells.
Yeah, what's going on?
All right, this isn't really a... Nah, I just made this big thing about we're a bulletin board, and then we go to a completely different, like, just kind of funny, quirky story. Did you see the Nextdoor post about the albino baby orca spotted off of Pillar Point?
I did.
I mean, so a couple things. Like, orcas, right there, that's pretty cool. Like, I mean, it's not that, you know, that's amazing. I can't believe, you know, it's not like they don't swim by here, but... You know, you hear about the whales often, and sometimes the sharks, right? But you don't hear that often about orcas. I have heard them here before, but well, I think there was even one in the harbor one time.
There was, actually, and I think it someone in a kayak. I think it was like one of these things where they bumped up against an orca, or it was right next. You know, I think I've been watching too much news, though, because the first thing that I think of when I hear that is... What in God's name is it doing here? Like, there isn't a huge migration of orcas that's supposed to be happening around here, as far as I know. And so then, of course, it gets me all environmentally in a kerfuffle. Because no kerfuffles on Fridays. But it gets me concerned. Like, what was it doing here? And you said it was a baby one?
Albino baby.
Yeah, so where's the mom?
It was there. The mom was there.
Oh, it was there. Okay.
But so I'm with you on like, okay, so is
something's
there
up.
Some different migration pattern?
Yeah.
This is a shipping lane. Are they going to get hit by ships?
Yeah, it makes me concerned.
I mean, the albino thing, I guess that's a thing that happens in nature and a variety of different species of animals, but it seems like a... You know, mutation, and so is that just a natural? You know, like
I wasn't even commenting on the albino piece of it. Just having them here is a little odd.
Yeah. Well.
So, but cool sighting.
Right. Exactly. So, Half Moon Bay resident Nate Seaton posted a 5-second video of the little white whale. Is it a whale? I mean, or
yeah,
a little white whale swimming with its mother off the mid coast. You can see. The mid-coast hills in the background. In fact, we took a still, screenshot still of Nate's 5-second video, and that's up on our webpage, our Coastal Windage webpage. So if you want to go to khmbradio.com, go to the Coastal Windage webpage and scroll down to the featured content section, you can see a picture of this little white whale.
You know, I'd be interested to know if anyone out there knows, please call us, but... Once that's out there, like, should we be contacting someone about the whales to see if, have they been tagged? Like, I want to make sure, just to kind of check their migration. Are they off track? Or, you know, I think they also now are with certain tags, they're able to check the health of the mammal in this case, but
so we we need to have a kayaker go out there and slip one of those apple
right.
tokens or whatever those things that we can trace
that's
them.
Next.
That's okay. next. Well, that's a whole nother level. Everybody, I mean, this is an interesting story, right? Like, as you're pointing out, why do we have orcas here?
Right.
I'm stuck on the albino aspect of it. The story. As of yesterday, so I didn't check this morning, but already had 65 comments and 984 likes.
I mean,
yeah, I was like, did a like triple take. Oh, what? Wow. So hopefully Nate is, Seaton, who took the video, is getting some photo credits for his video. We credit him on the web, our webpage, and, giving him credit right now. Nate, thanks for putting that video up there. And so you can, like I said, go to the Coastal Windage webpage on KHMB Radio. Check that out and other content that we have there. We've got some pictures of Zoe Chait up on there. Okay, now we get to the, I guess, the bulletin board segment
okay,
or section of the show. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, is the Little League's skills assessment. So every... seems like it gets earlier every year. To me, January, even in California, is not baseball time. Mm-hmm. And so you're doing a skill. Oh, we've got a call. Okay, let's see. This is Ruben Truthmaker and Livy Streetwise on Coastal Windage. Who we got calling this morning?
Good morning. This is Rick.
I recognize that voice. Rick of Coastal Mountain Bikers. Yes, Rick.
Also, quick fact, orcas are a dolphin.
A dolphin
family.
Uh-huh.
And there are transitory pods that live off the West Coast that are actually not part of any sort of migration. So it's completely normal for them to exist off the West Coast.
That makes us
there
feel
you
so
go.
Much
Libby,
better.
Are you, can
Thank you,
you,
Rick.
Take a deep breath, yes.
Woo!
And here right we go. On. Rick from Coastside Mountain Bikers, like mountain bike expert, humanitarian, as we will talk about later in the show. We talk about Bike Temple listeners. Rick is... one of the people who has made Bike Temple happen, and killer mountain bike rider, and all around great and knowledgeable guy.
Encyclopedia Brown.
Yes, totally. I do.
That is a large lump to swallow this early in the morning. So thank you for the compliments, but I don't think I deserve all of those. But yes, Bike Temple by Abundant Grace and the people there, and Marin Holt, who's been a huge part of that, and I think it was her original inception. It's a great program, really looking out for everyone that uses bikes, not just as a toy or exercise. So
right,
that's,
right.
Look forward to that. Go to Abundant Grace or AbundantGrace.com or reach out coastsidemtb.org, and there's more information there. So
excellent.
You'll get to the story later, and thank you.
Thanks
All right,
so much, Rick.
Thank you for the information on orcas, and thanks for the tease on Bike Temple later in the show. All right, so... everybody's now glued to their seat. They've heard from Rick. They are interested in hearing about Bike Temple. So stick around for that. All right, Little League Skills Assessment. This Saturday and Sunday at Smith Field, there are different times depending on the age level from AAA up to juniors. So that's AAA is 7 to 9 years old, up to juniors 13 to 15. Starting at 9 a.m. at different times for the different age groups, you're going to want to go to www.hmbbaseball.org. You need to sign up for this skills assessment. It's this weekend. Your child only needs to go to one of the 2 days. They don't need to go to Saturday or Sunday, but they're making the assessment available on both days. This is at Smith Field. So you want to go and check and see what time your child needs to go. Baseball attire, I mean, that makes sense, right? Cleats and stuff. Masks are required, so please have your child bring a mask. There's also a parents meeting. So while your child is doing the assessment, there'll be a parents meeting where they go over probably COVID protocol and other issues. Last year we played baseball with masks on. Mm-hmm. It was no problem. Baseball is a sport that you can play with a mask on.
Yeah.
It's not like basketball where you're, you know, actually have to run hard all the time.
Right.
Baseball is one of those 2 seconds of activity and then 3 minutes of standing around type
Have
of
you been out to Smith Field? What's it looking like after all the rains and stuff?
I haven't.
Is it swamp land?
I'm sure
or?
It is a swamp, especially the field that the juniors played on. There is a Everglades section of the outfield. But they've been working on
so
it.
Bring your waders, boys.
We'll see. The funny thing or the interesting thing about the skills assessment, I always got stressed. They used to call it, I mean, this is already shows like how society has changed. When I was going through this, they called
back
it
in the day.
They called it tryouts.
Oh,
you know, like
yeah.
You know, like, hey, come and try out. Like, let's see how good you are. Now it's a skills assessment.
Yeah.
You know, we're not judging anybody. We're just assessing.
Does
your
everyone
skill
get
level.
A trophy for attending the assessment?
So I would say to parents and the kids, you know, don't stress. Here's the thing. I told my wife this the first time we went. I'm like, this is exactly what it's going to look like. She's like, no, it won't be like a million. Be like, there's going to be about 15 adults looking really serious, standing around with clipboards, making a bunch of like detailed scribbling after each thing that happens with each kid. She's like, no, that, blah, blah. We get, you know, there's like 15 adults standing around.
So who were those adults?
Potential coaches. I mean, so they wanted, you know, this is a skills assessment for the adults to assess who they're going to draft and who they're going to pick for their teams. So that's why it can be a little stressful for the kids, except I would say this to the parents. It sounds like a big deal, right? It's at Smithfield. It used to be at the high school, so that's a much more professional-looking stadium and everything, like as opposed to Smithfield. I think that will take some of the pressure off, too. But, yeah, there's a bunch of adults standing around with clipboards. I think there's possibly even somebody with a stopwatch, all right? But this is the sum total of the skills assessment. Each kid gets three pitches thrown to them to hit, three ground balls that they then need to catch and throw to first base, and three pop flies. And
that's it?
That's it. You know, so sink or swim.
With everyone watching.
Well, with everyone watching, yes. And then, you know.
That's pretty intense.
You get your three swings at the three pitches. So two things I would say on this. Like, what is really the value of this? Many reasons. One, this is a small community. After a year or two, like juniors, really, are we going to have juniors that nobody's seen before? Like, do we really need to assess the skill level of the juniors?
Everyone has to be assessed, even if you've been playing for all of these years.
Everybody,
you don't just, like an AYSO, you just go to the next.
Everybody's supposed to go to this assessment. So one, it's a small community. We pretty much know everybody. Maybe some of the younger kids haven't come into the system yet. Okay, so that's one. two, three balls pitched to you, three grounders, three pop flies. I mean, it's really easy to like stumble or you know, you're just not warmed up or something and not, you know, not make a play.
Yeah.
And then you look, you know, then you get your three chances and you're written down as like, I can't field, you know, like, okay.
Well, so what's the stopwatch for? Are they timing you? Do they have a timed run from home to first?
So on your third pitch,
you run.
If you hit the ball, you're supposed to run. There may or may not be somebody with it. I'm just kind of being a little bit facetious in the sense
I get it.
Probably is some coach who's super into it, who's got a stopwatch and wants, you know, somebody's 40 time, you know, 40 yard dash time, and wants this to be like the NFL's skills combine or something. Okay. So I'm just, so that was a little bit of a stretch, but I could see somebody with a stopwatch. The last point on this is it's January. How many kids? There's a few kids that play baseball year round, but not that many. I know that my son loves baseball. He hasn't touched his glove since like September, October when baseball season ends. And that's just Major League Baseball. Junior season ended in June.
Wow.
So,
it also makes it difficult to do the sports at your school, you know, because like, for my son, he is going to be doing soccer starting next week at his school.
Yeah.
And he said that a number of the kids that are going out for the team also play baseball.
Oh.
And so that there is going to obviously be opportunity for conflict in the scheduling, like when games are and whatnot. And it's not a super long season. Like, I think he's playing from January maybe to the top of March.
So that there'll be some crossover, but
yeah.
I would say this to you, Libby, though, that spring is baseball.
Yeah, of course it is. Yes, that's when, but spring is March, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, so they've got the skills assessment in January. Practices start in like late February, games start in March. And guess what?
Okay.
The first month of the season is usually a bunch of rainouts. So you get like maybe a half of your practices and your first couple of games get rained out. So I have always wondered like, and then the season's over by like May. So I've always wondered why do we start so early February? Yeah. Like we never get, we there's always rainouts in February and March here on the coast side, and yet here we are, like, doing the skills assessment in January.
Do you have a secondary field option if Smith is swamped and you're not able to play?
No, there's no.
So no high school. You can't. The high school's taken by the high school teams, obviously, but.
I don't know. They've done the skills assessment there in the past, so who knows?
Okay.
All right. So moving on. More kids stuff. There's a free kids vaccination clinic this Sunday from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Lion's Den, also known as the Big Pumpkin, or the Event Center.
Or the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, it's the Lion's Den. You know what? I had forgotten about that. I was talking with Jill Jacobson, executive director of the Boys and Girls Club, and she referenced it as the Big Pumpkin, and I went, "Wow, what are you talking about?"
Really?
Yes, and so there we go.
Wow.
That is the influence of coastal windage. Even after we've moved on, our taint still resides with people.
Yeah.
That was a weird turn of phrase there. I don't really like how that came out. But,
sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Our guest just arrived.
Oh, I know. I thought I heard the motorcade roll up outside. So, okay. So we will have Zoe Chait just arrived.
Yeah, I'm going to get her set up, so keep talking.
With her entourage. So we will get them set up. All right, so there's a free vaccination clinic this Sunday from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Event Center, 530 Kelly Avenue in Half Moon Bay. They are giving out free Pfizer pediatric vaccine for children ages 5 to 11. This is a pediatric vaccines only, so this is just a kids vaccination clinic. Advanced registration is encouraged. There is some limited same-day registration. I wouldn't take my chances on that. I mean, it's better just to register and know that you'll get a vaccine.
And just to confirm, these aren't boosters.
No, these are the first vaccines. This is just for children ages 5 to 11. So I think they're the...
It's the 12 to 15, I think, that's on the next.
Boosters. Yeah. This is important. All who need the vaccine are welcome. So it's free. Regardless of immigration status, it doesn't matter. If your child 5 to 11 needs a vaccine, be there from 2 to 6 on Sunday. They're also doing another second pediatric vaccine clinic on January 30th, same time. Okay, so, and this is something that is being, I don't know if it's being sponsored or organized by the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside, because that is a superior organization that really is there for the kids of this coastside. Okay. I kind of mentioned I was just wanting to get to the back end of the show to talk to Zoe.
Yes.
You know, we're all excited about that, and yet we are obligated by our paychecks and our agents to do the other part of the show, so I guess we'll stick with the other part of the show. A couple of real quick things. We talked about Coastside County Water District is raising their rates, or they're going to considering raising their rates because of the water shortage crisis. There's going to be a public hearing on January 11th at 7 p.m. in which they are going to consider amendments to the water rate and fee scale. Ratepayers may protest, or, you know, may argue against this, but not at the public meeting. You may protest, but only in writing prior to the close of the public hearing on January 11th. So I guess you could go to the meeting on January 11th and send your written, but email protests not accepted. So you can protest, but not at the meeting. Because you can't do it by email, and you can't do it verbally at the meeting, so you have to send in, like, some written letter with a stamp, I guess, prior to the meeting. I know, like, okay, hey, yeah, you can protest this if you want, but here's all these hoops you got to jump through to get your protest in. One protest per parcel, please. But wait, if you order now, we'll send you a second protest with no other charge, just pay shipping and handling. If the majority of property owners or customers object in writing by the due date, again, if you send in your stamped letter by the due date, the contingency rates shall not be imposed. Well, what's your over-under on whether it'll be imposed or not? I'm saying shall be imposed.
Yeah, I'm thinking yes.
All right. Nobody wants to pay higher bills, but water's scarce, except in the ocean, right, Zoe?
Yep.
and so it's a market-based economy. I mean, I don't know if people are thinking, like, water's rare, it's scarce, so it's going to cost more. There's less of it, it's going to cost more. We asked this last show, though, what two questions come to mind. What is the incentive to save water if you're going to be charged more anyways? And, excuse me, why are there still new housing applications? They're building new houses and stuff if we don't have enough water already for the people that are here. Like, why am I paying more money for water so that we can build more houses here so that everybody will have to conserve
more
and pay more? I don't know. All right. That's something that's beyond our ability to figure out. The dog pilot program is still open for discussion. This thing's been going on for several years. They're trying to get an off-leash pilot program going in Quarry Park and the Marine Fitzgerald Preserve Reserve Bluffs. It's passed the Board of Supervisors, passed the Parks Department, I think the Planning Commission, the Board of Supervisors. Now it has to go to the Coastal Commission. At the January 26th Midcoast Community Council meeting, put this on your schedule, they're going to have it on the agenda to consider whether they want to send a letter of support to the Board of Supervisors and the Coastal Commission supporting the plan. As I mentioned, the Board of Supervisors has approved the plan. However, still needs approval of permitting from the Coastal Commission. A little bit of a black cloud possibly for the dogs folks is the lone dissenting vote. It was a 4-1 vote on Board of Supervisors. The lone dissenting vote was Carol Groom, who just happens to be a member of the Coastal Commission. So, who knows? I think people that listen to the show know that we're both dog owners.
Yep.
You're a multiple dog owner.
Yes, I am.
I generally am in favor of the off-leash dog situation.
Yeah.
With the understanding that,
you have a good dog.
Humans are involved, so there's going to be some issues. So I'm supportive of this. However, I witnessed something at the harbor this weekend that just really bummed me out and made me understand, or not that I didn't, but really, you know, had me sympathizing with the people that don't want dogs off leash. Mm-hmm. So this was Saturday or Sunday. It was very stormy. It was really, I had all my rain gear on. The wind was howling. Took my dog down to the harbor. And we were walking along right past the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company looking at that little beach there where Denison Creek comes out, okay? The tide was low, so there was a big spit of sand out there where at the end of the creek there, at the mouth of the creek. And there was probably 1,000, 2,000 birds sitting there. So just on that spit of sand. While I'm there, a man and a woman come from the parking lot by Barb's with their dog, walk into the sand behind Barb's, take the dog off the leash. And I was like standing on the little bridge there looking down going, okay, that's fine if they stay there. But if they go kind of around the corner, that's where all these birds are. Oh, no. Nobody's going to, like, walk towards 2,000 birds with their dog off leash. Like, right? I mean, when I see a great blue heron on my bike or something, I kind of, like, stop and slow down and, like, move around. I don't want to startle it, right? But no. As
right
I watch.
Right through the center.
The dog starts getting. And so I tried to yell, but the wind was, like, howling, and I couldn't even hear myself. So, of course, they didn't hear me. They just keep walking. The dog just. And so I started running out to the end of the point there. There's like a little dirt area, and you can get out to the point and look down on the mouth of this creek. And so I'm running to get out there. I'm waving my hands, and the wind's howling. They got their hoods up. They don't seem. Yep, they just stand there while the dog just like runs out, like scares off all the birds. They fly out wheeling around. The dog just does like a once around and then just comes back, and then they just walk back to the parking lot. It's like, I mean, that is the kind of behavior that that the opponents of the off-leash pilot program are exactly pointing to. You see a big flock of birds, that's the wildlife there, like, as just common courtesy. Like, wouldn't you leash up your dog and not let your dog just run through there and, like, get them all flapping, wheeling around and stuff? I mean, I don't know what the birds were doing, resting or mating rituals or whatever.
I would love to have seen you.
Yeah.
Like, waving, rain pouring.
Yeah, I had my
Your poor dog sitting there, like, good Lord.
I had my rain boots on, and so I was, like, trying to run, but it was, like, clop, clop.
I would have loved to have seen that. Where's the video?
I wish I had taken video. I mean, just, like, I just was stunned. Like, there's 2,000 birds sitting there, like, this is like a zoo almost, and you're just going to watch your dog just like run out there. Mm. So very very disappointed. That's the kind of behavior that can't happen if we want to have an off leash. And I don't know for sure. I feel 90% certain that these folks were not from the coast side. Mm. I don't really have any reason to point to that, but I'm going to say that, and let's just go with that. Okay, we're in about, the countdown has begun, in about 5 minutes, we're going to have Zoe here. Zoe's sitting in the chair
patiently
right now.
Waiting
yes,
for you to talk about air quality.
Oh, thank you. Nice, nice lead in. I can see her drumming her fingers of like, I got surfing to do. Like,
yeah,
I got training to do.
I got places to go, Ruben.
I know, but, you know, she probably has her own coterie of agents and publicists and stuff that probably said, all right, we got to do a little PR here, you know, like, you know, the sponsors want some PR stuff. All right, well, we know the celebrity life, you know, that she's
yeah,
living.
Yeah, we know it so
yeah,
well.
As you see. I mean, I saw when she came in, she was a little awed by the studio, but, you know, you'll get used to it over time, you know. All right. Air quality. So this, I'm really excited about the air quality day. We get our data from purpleair.com. 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100 is very good. We're always in the, like, 0 to 25 range. Guess what? Today in El Granada.
What?
Zero.
Whoa.
I mean, literally, whoa, like, it doesn't get any better than that. That zero in Half Moon Bay as well. Two in Redwood City.
Wow, that's
ooh,
really
it's
good.
Just really choky down in Santa Cruz. It's 11 in Santa Cruz. So
excellent air.
I mentioned we need to start. There's no context here because, like, okay, these are all great numbers. I need to, like, start pulling the air quality from Fresno or Modesto or Turlock or something and have that as a point of reference. Like, okay, it's 2 today in Redwood City, and in Turlock it's 145. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's the difference between living on the coast and living in the Central Valley. All right, speaking of you know what? I don't even know if we have time for this.
9:38? No.
We got some emails, but I really wanted to – okay. Speed talking. Here we go. Well, let me just wind myself up here. A cup of coffee. Let me just get a sip of coffee. Here we go.
Whoa, that was a slurp.
That was just a Foley artist. I finally got him to be awake. That wasn't even me taking a sip of coffee. That was just a sound. All right. Do you see the big traffic jam on I-95? You're from the East Coast. I'm sure you've driven I-95
oh, yeah,
a few times.
Yeah.
The big traffic jam in Virginia, 27 hours, blah, blah, blah. No communications, no rescue services. This is what I love about that story, though, because I heard this on a news report. People were desperate for news, for real-time information, what's happening, when is rescue coming. So were they listening to their silly recorded podcasts? No. Were they listening to their books on tape? No. They were checking for road updates on TikTok or Twitter? No. They were tuning in to local radio stations to hear live updates from real humans about actual real-time conditions. Thank you.
Yay.
That's us right here, right now. So there's still a place, there's still a niche in society in the worst traffic jams and most horrible weather conditions. Guess what? There's still a place for radio, and that's us. All right, so if the disaster's happening, tune in to KHMP.
And it usually is on 92.
Right? I mean, hey. 27 hours snowed in with no communications or rescue services. So getting stuck for 90 minutes looking out over the Pacific Ocean on a sunny afternoon doesn't seem so bad now, right?
I guess not.
Well, okay.
But
all right.
It's still
okay, three,
bad.
Two quick email just came in. Three quick emails, okay, and then we get to Zoe. Whew, okay. Lucy with a football writes, this is from an email from Lucy with a football, the transcendent nature of enthusiasm. What a great turn of phrase. Yes, I do love that phrase. That it really is true. When you come across somebody in life who embodies the spirit of John Madden, it is infectious and uplifting without seeming fake or trite, as was John Madden. Right.
Yes.
People thought Madden was funny and goofy, but they didn't think he was a clown.
Right.
Because they respected, like, his knowledge and his enthusiasm. And, yeah, they respected his talent and his energy. And so he was not a clown. I would say, was his real talent his energy? I mean, he was very smart about football. But was that his real talent of just being able to, like, focus that and not come off as a clown? All right. Good email there. Okay, this one's from Pie Maker 1977 about New Year's resolutions. This year, my New Year's resolution is not to get caught up in the trap of making a list of New Year's resolutions. I never get them done, and at the end of the year, I just end up feeling bad about myself. So no list, nothing to regret. Okay, I mean, that's one way of looking at it, sure, but I would say this. I'm trying to say this to my son now at age teenager. If no goals are set, then nothing can be achieved. And we've got a probably soon-to-be professional athlete sitting right next to us that we're going to ask about goals and
I'm sure there are a few
training,
goals there. Yeah.
Right? We're going to get some tips here. But New Year's resolutions are aspirational, not really a reflection of your success as a human being. So I would say to Pie Maker 1977, don't get too caught up on it. Like, be aspirational. Set some New Year's resolutions. If you get them, fine. If not, it's not like there's somebody coming around that's going to dock your pay, unlike here. All right, this email just came in. Whale from, Whale Tales. That's, I'm not sure. Albino orca misidentified. Okay, we had a call from Rick, Coastside Mountain Bikers, earlier. Oh, man, bike tempo. We're not going to get to that. So here we go. People listen and they respond with input and information that makes this show the go-to show for Coastside. We're getting some information on the albino orca. Albino orca. Stop with the fake news, you two. Maybe I should just stop with the email.
Yeah, why don't we stop? Reliable
eyewitnesses claim that it was Reuben out there in the ocean flailing around in a Speedo, not a rare albino orca. Sounds right to me. Just own it, Reuben. You need a tan and a personal trainer.
Wow.
Mom, come on.
On that note.
Yeah, that was probably from my mom. All right, Bike Temple, I just got to do this real quick. And I'm just saying right now we might run a couple minutes late because I'm not going to short this interview. Bike Temple, two of the Coastside's hardest working nonprofits have teamed up to create Bike Temple, a free program that is designed to support those who rely on bikes as their main form of transportation. They're providing volunteer bike mechanics and donated bikes for people who use bikes as their main transportation to can come and get free mechanical services. They did it last in December 5th. The next one is this Sunday. The first Sunday of each month from 8:15 to 11:15 at Abundant Grace, 515 Kelly Avenue. So that's this Sunday, 8:15 to 11:15. If you need work on your bike, can't afford it, or just need help, go to the Bike Temple, 515 Kelly Avenue at Abundant Grace. This is happening the first Sunday of every month. And you know who would love this idea? Michelle Dragony, the Coastal Butterfly.
Right.
CoastsideBuzz.com. Go to her site to get more information about Bike Temple. I am sure she's got it up there because bike is her main form of transportation.
Yes, it is.
Even on a day like this, even in the rain, I've seen her out there on her bike. She's all about riding bike as transportation. I'm sure she's involved with this. Go to her CoastsideBuzz.com to see more about it. Or go to our Coastal Windage webpage, check out pictures of Zoe Chait surfing, and get some more information on Bike Temple. Okay, let's get to it. Zoe Chait, good morning, Zoe.
Hi.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for bringing your entourage, your agent there. I really appreciate that. Okay, let's get right into it because I've worked myself into a lather thinking about this. Okay, so 15-year-old, I'm calling you an amateur surfer. Is that accurate still?
Yeah, that's correct. Until you're 18, you're an amateur surfer.
So amateur is based on age. It's not based on whether you're being paid money or...
Yeah, people can call themselves professionals if they're paid money. So I'm not a professional yet, but working towards it.
Right. Okay, that's a question we're going to ask. So you haven't gotten one of those big cardboard checks yet where you stand up on... Oh, you have gotten
them. I have gotten those, yeah.
Oh.
I've gotten paid by surf contests for winning, but not some sponsors pay for my contests, but not like money for trips or a travel.
Or new car.
Or a new car. Not yet.
Yeah, I like the yet there because it's going to, I'm sure it's going to happen. Okay,
thank
so
you.
Let's just run. Oh, thank you. Let's just run down a few things. This is our 15-year-old amateur. 15?
Yes.
Yeah, 15-year-old amateur surfer, shredding waves and competition up and down the West Coast. Second place, 2021 National Scholastic Surfing Association Championships in the Women's U18 division. First place, 2021 NSSA West Coast Regional. First place, West Coast Regional. I think we have a few good surfers out here on the West Coast. Ranked second in the USA Prime West Surfing Series, the country's highest level of amateur surfing. And listen to this. Sponsorship list already includes O'Neill down there in Santa Cruz, Sharp Eye Surfboards, NorCal Surf Shop, Electric Sunglasses, Sunbum. My son was really stoked on that because he uses that. Sunbum and Creatures of Leisure. Check out some pictures of Zoe in action.
That's amazing.
Seriously in action on our website
page. So proud of yourself. Okay. Lots of hard work, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Let's get into that. So you're a graduate of Cunha Intermediate School, which is very cool, and currently a student at Laurel Springs Virtual School. Why not Half Moon Bay High?
Well, Laurel Springs is, like, it's super flexible. You can do work on the weekends, and there's no actual schedule. You just have to, like, get your assignments due on time by the due date. So that's a lot easier for me because I travel down south, like, all the time. It would be really hard to go to the high school, especially because we have to leave on, like, Friday or even sometimes Thursday to get to the contest so I can practice a little bit. So, yeah, it would have been challenging to go to Half Moon Bay High, so this is definitely a good school for me at the moment.
A good fit.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. And do you have, like, a routine when you travel? Because I'm sure you've got some homework, and I know that you recently went on a trip for a competition, but when you're traveling in the vehicle, because I'm sure you have to travel by vehicle, especially on the West Coast trips, because you've got your surfboards.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a little setup in the car where you can do your studying, or a routine where you've got time carved out a certain time of the day where you work on your homework or anything?
Yeah, we have, like, a big Sprinter van, so that is helpful for these long trips. So in between heat, sometimes I'll do school. Like, we have, like, a bed in the back, so I'll just sit there. I can't really do school over driving. It kind of, like, makes me a little bit sick, but I can do it during, like, we're in the hotel for so much because you can't really do anything besides, like, stuff that doesn't take much energy when you're not competing because you don't want to get tired. So I'll just do school, like, chill in the hotels. So it gives me enough time. I'm trying to get better at doing the school because it's hard when you're gone.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's hard, too, when you're out. Surfing and using energy and in the sun and in the water.
Adrenaline going.
Yeah, and then you come in and it's like take a shower and like, now I'm going to sit down and read Great Expectations.
It's definitely hard. The subjects I'm into, it's easy for me, but like the ones that I know I'm not going to pursue are a little tricky, but I'm trying to get better at it.
Oh, well, good. 15 and words of wisdom, right?
I have a feeling you've got a lot of discipline, so you probably just, doing the homework is probably not that difficult. Okay, couple of related questions here. How did you get started with surfing, and was there a role model, or is there someone that you look to, a surfer or another athlete or somebody that you look to as a person that you go, like, I really admire and respect that person's work ethic or their talent. I'm trying to follow that person.
Yeah, I started surfing mostly when we moved to Half Moon Bay, like, 5 years ago, I think. The first summer, my brother and I surfed on wave storms at the jetty, like, every single day. It didn't matter if it was good or bad. We'd be, like, the only people out there, and we had no clue. We were just complete kooks, but we had, like, the best time. And then we got our first shortboards and started doing contests together, and it just, like, we pushed each other and got better pretty fast. And, yeah, now we're here, so it's kind of fun because most people, like, come from a surfing family, and... But we just kind of figured it out ourselves.
Where did you move to Half Moon Bay from?
Oh, we used to live over the hill in Woodside.
Oh, I was thinking like Nebraska or something. It's going to be like that movie North Shore where the guy wins the surfing competition in Arizona and then goes to the North Shore. And like, have you seen that movie?
I have not.
Oh, my God. What? Oh, I'm sorry. You got to see North Shore. I mean.
Okay.
Because you'll just be like, oh, okay.
Do you still surf with your brother?
He actually stopped doing surfing. He's now, like, a super cool cowboy dude. He ropes.
Nice.
He's a roper. He's, like, awesome. I really look up to what he does. He's super strong and stuff. So,
Great.
Shout out to Brody.
All right, Brody.
That's
okay.
Awesome.
I also have to give a shout out to my brother, Ben, because he and I got into a big argument over Christmas because he's into extreme sports, mountain biking, climbing, stuff like that.
Cool.
And we were arguing, he was calling somebody a kook in the same reference that Zoe just used, which is as a, as a poser or someone who doesn't know what they're doing or like is out there like, you know, in all the like fancy gear, but doesn't really know what they're doing. And so that's how Zoe just referenced herself when they just started that they were out there as kooks. Like they didn't know what they were doing, beginners. And I was arguing with my brother that that's not the definition of kook. Kook is like a weirdo, a crazy, you know, like a goofball, a goofball. Yeah. And he's like, no, it's a, so we argue. We looked it up on Urban Dictionary and the regular dictionary. And in Urban Dictionary, there is a definition that it's a newcomer or a poser or someone does pretends they know what they're doing. But Merriam-Webster had my definition of like an eccentric.
So both are right.
But so I gotta give him a nod. Okay, I've never heard anybody use it in that context before. Nah, nah, blah, 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 blah. He's like, well, then you are not getting out very much. Now I'm talking to someone in the extreme sports world.
Who used it?
Who used it? Ben, my brother Ben, you were right. Okay. So how do you train? Do you just surf as much as you can, or do you cross train? Like, you know, it's not just people going out and surfing anymore. Like this is a serious business.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of training outside of the water. I'll do skate training, like on a carver board, which is like a skateboard that emulates surfing. Mm. I'll also go on my trampoline I have to practice airs.
Wow.
There's a gym right next to our house. It's on Main Street. And I train with Raul Castile and Matt Aragoni all the time, like 3 times a week.
Wow.
Kickboxing and personal training, and they even like brought in a surfboard for me to train with. They're like the best dudes ever, and they're helping my surfing like go to a whole next level.
Well, that's great. Fantastic. Shout out to Raul.
Raul,
he lives in El Granada. I've known Raul for a long time. Local guy, went to Half Moon Bay High, and just the nicest guy ever.
He's fantastic. Yeah. I'm curious, how many young women do you find on the same circuit with you constantly?
It's kind of funny. It's just like the same girls, like as we grow older. Like sometimes there'll be a couple new ones every year that we haven't seen before. Like as you go to bigger competitions, there'll be like a bigger group of kids, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like a huge group down south of like 15 girls who are really, really good. And then there's like two or three other girls in Santa Cruz are good, and then there's me. So
Right. So you're saying almost like under 20? They're like the
my
same
age,
basically.
Yeah.
The 20.
Yeah, the same pretty much. And then I do some like contests with older girls.
Cool.
Who, like, then there'll be more of them because there's more ages. But
wow.
Yeah, not
that's
much.
Fantastic.
Well, this leads to the next question, which is a bit of a difficult question, okay? Because Beach Break Entertainment was recently going to have a film festival, the Half Moon Bay Film Festival, which has been postponed for COVID reasons. So a smart thing by Julie Mell to do, the promoter. But they were going to show a documentary called Girls Can't Surf about female surfers trying to break through in the sport in the 80s and 90s. As a post-millennial, meaning a younger than millennial, as a post-millennial female surfer, what is your experience and perspective on gender equity in the sport? You mentioned there's only like 20 of these girls in U18. I bet there's 120 dudes in U18. So
yeah.
What are you seeing from a perspective of a young female in this sport?
Well, I think that surfing is actually doing a really good job of trying to make it equal. But it definitely, out in the water when you're just free surfing, it's not equal at all. Everywhere I surf here, I'm the only girl out there. I'll just be out there. All my friends who surf here are guys. Like, they're guys in, like, their middle ages who I surf with all the time.
Hey, now, careful.
I'm sorry. But I feel like surf contests, they're trying, now there's equal pay for men and women on the WSL, which is the World Surf League.
Right.
And they, I don't know, they're doing a really good job, but they still, like, I did a contest down south in Santa Cruz where there were only 8 women slots, so only 8 women could even participate, and there were 42 men spots. So then they said, they were like, oh, the the prize money for men is $10,000, and then the prize money for women is $1,000. And then people from the WSL were freaking out about it, and they changed it. But the one thing was, there's only 8 girls because they only gave 8 girls a shot. Yeah. So, like, I get where they were coming from with, like, the prize money, but still, they should just give more women
42
a chance.
Spots,
at least, like, half.
Or make it equal,
I mean, I'm trying to understand, like, the chicken or the egg thing here. Like, if you're not seeing any other girls your age out there surfing, just, you know, the breakout here, is that because there's no future in it, or, you know, in terms of, like, there's nothing to aspire to professionally or monetarily or even glory wise because if they're only going to give 8 slots compared to 42, I mean, there's only 8. I'm stuck on that they would only provide it. Or is it that there's something about surfing that doesn't attract females, which doesn't make any sense either. So I'm trying to understand, like, why would they only offer 8 slots? I've heard gender equity is improving specifically in surfing. I know there's been a lot of efforts made with Mavericks and whatnot. But then to hear you, this is why I was really excited to talk to you, because here's somebody who's in it right now. But to hear that you just went to a competition where they had 42 men slots and 8 women slots, it doesn't seem like the equity is real. I mean, they might be paying the same, but. Or is this just, I'm sorry, I'm asking, doing all the, is this just a way to, like, say they're paying equal, but justify not paying equal because, you know, it's
more
competition?
You're going down a rabbit hole, Mr.
I want to understand.
I get what you're saying. Like, it's definitely weird. Like, even on the World Surf League where they give equal prize, there's 16 to the top women, and now there's 32 men. So, I mean, but we still get the same amount of prize money just because I think there's less women in the sport. Yeah. So they're trying to make it equal with what we have because there's honestly not enough girls yet. But it's getting bigger. And, I mean, the scene in Half Moon Bay and, like, Pacifica is definitely getting bigger. Like, there's a couple girls that I coach or try and help out who live in Pacifica who are definitely getting better and they're working super hard. So I'm hoping that, like, maybe what I'm doing or what the girls or the women down in San Francisco are doing are, like, going to make sure that they, like, keep going with the sport and, like, they bring it to the next level because they definitely have the potential to.
And I think also, you know, with added exposure, like, surfing is now in the Olympics.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's that. And sadly, I do think it has a lot to do with PR, marketing. And once women's surfing is covered more and there are more faces to these competitions, like, and you see the energy and you see the excitement, then there's a lot that can follow from that. And it's just an investment of, you know, all of your hard work and then, like, your sponsors getting word out and saying, you know, come on, girls, young girls, come on out.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
You're just as good as the boys, and, you know, you can do this and all that.
Yeah, it's definitely starting to happen, too. I mean, like, O'Neill does a bunch of stuff with, like, they try and bring younger girls in to come surf with us. I've done one of those events where there's younger girls who are trying to get into surfing, and we're, like, surfing with them and, like, just having, like, a beach day. And now girls definitely are almost just as good as the guys, which used to not be the case at all. Which I think is making it a lot better, and, like, it's more fun to watch women surfing now,
Nice.
So, Olympics, is that something that you're going to try to get into? Try to qualify for the Olympics?
For sure, yeah. The first thing, you have to make it to the Olympics in surfing, you have to make the world tour and then be in the top 2 in your country, which is tricky. Even
country this big, yeah.
Yeah, this big, because we're normally top 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the women's side, because we also have Hawaii, and those girls are really good.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, that's definitely something I'm aspiring to and hope to do later in life.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the next one? I thought the Summer Olympics was going to be in Paris. And so it would be obviously the coast.
Maybe the Normandy coast or the south of France coast. So do you see this being your career? I mean, are you gonna try to go pro and like make money either through endorsements or prize money and live off of that for, you know, for a while as your main job?
Yeah, definitely. That's like the hope and like what I'm moving towards. But yeah, I know that like surfing, you can't do like all your life. Well, you can surf all your life, but can't do it as a profession. But definitely for like the beginning of my life, I'd love for that to be like how I make money, because that seems pretty cool. Like the best thing you could do.
And as long as you love it, right?
Yeah.
As long as you love it and are passionate about it. And that's awesome.
She's getting the coastal windage good luck charm bump. Every guest that we've had on
catapults.
Yeah, they just like they go on. Like somehow this just like is, you know, we catch them on the way up or something, but they're always going to do great things. Yeah. Can you envision, let's say 10 years from now when Livy and I are doing this show and we're interviewing some 15-year-old aspiring surfer, and can you envision them saying, when I ask the question, who is the person that inspired you? And they're like, oh yeah, like Zoe Chade. I saw her like at Huntington Beach and like in the Olympics in 2024.
Awesome.
Like,
yeah,
can you picture
cool.
that?
Yeah, I would really like that. I think that's like one of the reasons why it's like cool to do a sport that not many other girls do in like a small town. Because you could like, if one other girl like gets inspired from what I did, I feel like that'd be really worthwhile, and I would help them follow their dreams. So that's pretty cool.
You're a super inspiration.
Okay, so
I wish I had had someone like you when I was younger that I could look up to like that.
So this is usually the end of the show. I'm not done yet, so we're going to do something that we don't usually do. I'm just going to we have to do the station ID at 10 o'clock. And I know that radio legend Jay Michaels is listening, ready to hit the station ID. I'm just going to do a station ID, a verbal one right now, and just try to wing it. This is KHMV 100.9 FM, your community radio station. This is the top of the hour, 10 o'clock. This is Coastal Windage. We're just going a couple minutes longer because we're having an incredible live interview with teen champion surfer Zoe Chade, and we just have a lot of questions. And I'm just not done.
A couple of questions.
Okay, hit it. Okay. Go. Yeah.
So I was saying to Ruben, I'm like, so I consider myself pretty well versed in various sports. Not that I'm good at them, but I can kind of manage the lingo and whatever. And I walked into a surfing shop not that long ago. Clearly, it was like two professional surfers walk in and start talking to the person. It was like another language to me. I had no idea. So pardon my ignorance when I ask you this question. But when you're in competitions, are you only or primarily surfing short boards? And do you like long boards? Am I saying this right? But okay. And why do you prefer one or the other? And that, I don't know. I'm fascinated by the, because it seems like the short boards are like the Ferrari of the boards.
Mm-hmm.
And the long boards are more like the Cadillac, kind of like big car that you're trying to, that is more difficult to maneuver, but you can do more things on it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. There's kind of like four different types of surfing. There's like big wave surfing, which is where you just go down a huge wave and have to be super strong, and you train a lot for that. There's shortboarding, and like that's what the biggest thing is right now, which is like what I do. I do not longboard at all.
Okay.
Not my thing.
Okay.
I've tried. I'm not my best skill.
Uh-huh.
And then there's longboarding, and then there's professional free surfers who they ride. They just try and do the, like, they just try and get the most viral clips possible. They'll, like, go for huge airs, or, like, they'll ride, like, twin fins, which is boards with only two fins, and be super, like, steezy and cool. So, yeah.
Steezy.
Yeah.
See, this is...
Just do what I do. Just nod. And, oh, steezy. I'm going to use that later today out of context, just so you know.
Yeah, I definitely... Shortboarding is my thing. I big wave surf sometimes, but, shortboarding.
Do you ever foil?
I have never tried. I want Jeff Clark to take me one time.
I bet he would.
Jeff, I know Jeff's listening. Jeff, Come on. You got a soon to be, I'm just going to say, soon to be Olympian and professional surfer. Take her under your wing. Take her out foiling. Come on.
Yeah,
come
totally. On. And what about, last question, kite surfing?
I have never done that. It seems really scary. A couple of my friends have done it, but yeah, I don't really
and
get it.
And if it's scary to you, who is like a master of the ocean, can you imagine me? I would be out at the horizon, never to be seen again.
No. Yeah,
that would be
it. Challenging.
That would be
halfway
it.
Halfway to
I'd
Hawaii. Totally. Yeah. All right, I guess we'll do. I can feel radio legend Jay Michaels like stressing out. But
okay.
I think
we don't want to stress him out.
I'm sorry. Like I'm not ready to go yet. We did the station ID, the verbal station ID. Okay, so let's just go to the speed round, I guess. Okay.
Okay.
But a hard question. Any dudes ever give you a hard time in the lineup?
Yes.
Like a locals thing? Like, dude, or just like a dudes chicks thing?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, just a locals thing. I've surfed in Santa Cruz. I've had a couple of locals things in Waddell Beach. In the south end, some people kicked my friends and I out of the water. And then a couple of times, actually, it started off as they were mad because we were surfing kind of a secret spot and my parents were filming. And then the person became my really great friend. He actually got me sponsored by O'Neill. So
nice.
Sometimes
it
if you make friends
out.
With them, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Speaking of O'Neill, we've covered your impressive list of sponsors. Do you think you're getting the same deals as male surfers your age with similar accomplishments?
Yeah, I do. I think O'Neill's really good at doing the equality. They're actually pushing girls surfing. We have one girl who just made the world tour, Katie Simmers. She's super cool. So, yeah, it's really awesome being a part of that team.
Great. How has COVID affected your surfing?
At first, it actually helped a lot because I got to surf all the time, but it's definitely been hard with travel, and I haven't gotten to travel to as many places as I would have wanted.
Right. What is your favorite local surf spot?
Kelly Street, right in front of my house, and then if we're going with, like, an hour away of being local, Steamer Lane.
Uh-huh. And that's down by Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Isn't it too darn cold to surf here? What do you got, a 4.3? What is it, 5.4, 4.3? What's the heavy wetsuit?
I normally wear a 5.4 with a hood out here, and then in Santa Cruz I wear a 4.3. I'm just used to it.
Ay, ay, ay. What's the most incredible place you've ever surfed?
I don't know. Lower Trestles down in San Clemente is an amazing wave, and then some places in Hawaii.
Trestles is still going? Cause I know that that's been like, Trestles has been around for almost 100 years as a known spot.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, it's still going. Okay, it's in the Beach Boys song Surf and Safari. Trestles is mentioned specifically.
Yes, it is.
Let's see. You ever see any orcas, albino or otherwise, while out there?
Yeah.
Not including me when I'm doing my ocean swimming.
I have seen some whales. I've seen dolphins and I've seen sharks. We've seen it all.
Oh, yeah. What's the craziest creature you've come across?
Shark.
Was it scary?
I actually saw three in one day once, and then I haven't seen one since, so.
Okay. What is your favorite sport or activity other than surfing? What do you do to relax, get surfing out of your head?
I enjoy kickboxing at the gym, boxing, and I love to play the guitar.
Acoustic or electric?
Acoustic.
Uh-huh. Okay. What's your go-to song? You know, when you go to Guitar Center and you, like, are going to, like, you know, try out a guitar, what's your song?
Oh, I'm not very good. I normally just watch my brother and I'll just choose whatever guitar he tells me to buy.
Okay. Nice. Brody's the guitar expert?
Yeah,
okay.
He definitely is.
So he's a cowboy and a musician? Does he play country music or does he like rock music?
He plays all music. He's a legend.
Oh. Aww. Well, we might have to have Brody on here. Yeah. Wow, what a family. Okay. Are you on social media?
Yes. So my Instagram is Zoe Chait Surfs.
Zoe Chait Surfs. Yes, she does. Okay, real quick. Ever seen Endless Summer?
Yes, I have.
What do you think?
I love that movie. It's so cool.
Nice.
The wave they find at the end is, I would like to surf that wave. It looks pretty fun.
Nice. What about Point Break, the original?
No, I have not watched that movie.
What about the remake?
No.
Okay. We were just talking about it before the show. You have to see it because there's a great scene. Keanu Reeves, right? He plays an FBI agent that is going after some bank robbers who surf in the off season and bank rob in the when it's not surfing season.
Oh.
And so he has to learn how to surf. So he goes to a surf shop. He's and there's like a 12-year-old kid who's working at the surf shop trying to help him pick out a surfboard. And so Keanu picks out this horrible garish pink surfboard, like, you know, that just like a kook would pick out. Right.
Yep.
And walks up to, the 12-year-old kid is helping him. And the 12-year-old kid says something like, hey, it's great that old people are, you know, learning to surf. And, you know, that's really cool that an old person like you is surfing. And Keanu goes, I'm 25. And the kid's like, yeah, exactly. So, you got to see the movie because there's a lot of it's a surfing movie.
Good
it's a movie about surfing,
yeah.
And it's just a classic surf movie. It's not Endless Summer, but I'd say if you were to say like top five surfing movies,
it's in there.
Point Break is in there for sure.
Okay, sick. I'll check it out.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, so Zoe Chait, aspiring Olympian and soon to be professional surfer, already with endorsements, already with championship hardware. In the awards
and
closet.
And now Coastal Windage appearance.
And now with a
yes,
guest
you.
On Coastal. That's a bump to us. I mean, I don't know. It's probably going to drag down your numbers a little bit. But this is a boon to us. So thank you, Zoe, for coming and answering all of our questions.
Thank you so much. Good luck to you
on your future endeavors. Literally, like, the Coastside's never going to hear the end of it when we see you on the WSL on TV or on the Olympics and or the Olympics. Hometown kid, really, you have all of the support of KHMB and the Coastside. Good luck.
Good luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. That was fun.
This is so great.
Okay.
Nice.
And that concludes our broadcast for today. Thank you, listeners, for sticking around. Thank you, Radio Legend J. Michaels, for letting us go a little long. Thank you, Zoe, for staying with us. All right. Next Friday, we'll be back with another slate of great topics. And hopefully you, our listeners. All right. This has been Coastal Windage, the Talk of the Coast. I'm Ruben Truthmaker. With me, Livy Streetwise. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Coastal Windage, the Talk of the Coast.